it's I'm not John Houston. I don't look anything like him, do I? We haven't seen him in so long. How would we know?
That's the question.
Yeah, yeah, you could.
How would we know what he looks like?
You could be Tom Houston.
Anyway, Tommy's computer's out today, so we are just sort of winging it on our own. Just me and the two Dons. That would be Don Shaw and Don Patterson, gentlemen.
We are stumbling through, aren't we?
It's so good.
Certainly going to be stumbling through, and that's what we're good
certainly.
At.
Certainly. Yeah, we are good, at,
good
stumbling.
At stumbling.
But, you know, I got an email, and I wish I could remember this boy's name. He'll know who he is, from California. Was it Larry? Maybe. It was, anyway, he wrote me and said there'd been a reference in show 239 as to us not doing the Blind Andy Man show anymore, and he said he hated that. That we had that he had bought some woodwork tools. He said, "Hell, yeah. if y'all can do it, I can too." So he bought some woodwork tools and was you know, getting into woodwork because of
that's what it's all about.
Makes you feel good, doesn't it?
But you know, we'll be rerun somewhere.
I'm sure we'll be rerun and archived.
Yeah, and the box sets of the entire collection are on sale.
Well, that could be a possibility.
Over there on eBay. But actually, we could probably also point him in the direction of some other more.
Well, we might have some other guys might want to do something like this. You know, Dale Campbell has talked at different times about wanting to do a show. And, of course, our capable friend Dale Levins from Cochrane, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think his English. They'd have a tough time understanding him with that accent.
Well, that's because he talks fast. Not
yeah, I mean, yeah, he would. He has... you know, he'd have to brush up.
He gets a lot said in a short time.
He does. It doesn't take him long to say what he's got to say. I love him. He's one of
maybe they could just do a 30-minute show.
They could do an hour show in 30 minutes is what they could do.
Anyway, welcome
to the Blind Handy Man. This is show 240.
It is.
In case you had wondered.
That in itself is unbelievable.
240. And my name is Phil Parr, and Don Patterson is here, and Don Shaw is here, and we're going to stumble through and have a drink and do a... what did Victor call us? Bunch of drunks from Texas.
he wouldn't say that.
Victor?
They're not allowed to say that, are they?
We don't have him anymore on the show.
That's right. Don't call Victor anymore. A bunch of drunks from Texas?
I think that's what he calls it. It's the nicest thing he said about us.
That's a fairly accurate description.
And remember, we gave him a bunch of time one time to advertise his little nothing computer business?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we talked about his band. Anyway, it's raining in Lufkin, Texas today.
And going to rain tomorrow.
Has been raining since, actually, I think it rained a little Sunday. It rained most of the day yesterday. It has rained most of the day today. And I think we probably have one more day of it.
They actually missed, the weathermen missed at my house on KTRA's weather page radar. It was supposed to rain Friday. And Saturday. It was like a 50% chance Saturday.
Yeah.
Never made a 50% chance Sunday. I got nary a drop. Yeah. But then yesterday, boy, the good soaking grow your garden rain. And then I think it's actually supposed to go tomorrow and Friday. Maybe a little.
Luann's going to Dallas.
Thursday,
I think. Luann's going to Dallas Friday for.
Really?
She and Tori and Shelley are going up for a taekwondo tournament Saturday.
Well, you could always ride up and visit with our friend John Conley.
I think I won't. I think I'll wait and see that boy in Houston.
Given any other choices.
They have already made their reservation, in fact.
They've already made reservations. Conley's computer is not seeing the internet for some reason.
Well, there could be a lot of reasons for that.
He's running on wireless.
Knowing John Conley, it's probably because he doesn't have any service provider.
No, he does. He said he had a good signal. And Pam's computer's working.
On wireless?
Pam's computer's hardwired. It's plugged into the router, but he's working on wireless. Said he had a good signal, but it's not seeing.
Did Jovina not have good luck with her little endeavor into... a wireless computer?
Oh, no, it's working great.
Oh, I thought she didn't care for it.
Oh, no, it's great. She's got satellite.
And she has Hughes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She did get that.
Yeah, she has. Is it Hughes?
I thought it was, yes.
She has that down in the country because you can't get satellite with her cable where she is. So she's got satellite. The equipment downstroke was about $300, but they let her pay it out.
Yeah.
$10 a month or so. And so she's got. So you can have satellite in it. You can have DSL anywhere now.
And it's working well.
Yeah, if she's. I don't think it's really prohibitive. What is it, about $59 a month, something?
I think that's what she said.
After the getting in. But I thought at first she was kind of unhappy with it. So
I don't think so. I think she's.
Okay.
I think she just got back from the Grand Ole Gospel Reunion.
Yeah.
In Knoxville, Tennessee.
Took your laptop down there, I think.
And posted on the list.
Posted all that trip info on the list. That was cool. That was neat.
It was. I think everybody enjoyed reading her.
I do, too.
We let sighted people on the list. And the list we're talking about is Blind Like Me at yahoogroups.com. If you want to join that list, you can just send an email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com or blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
And that'll get you set up.
Put you on both lists. Mr. Patterson will now read some list.
We're just going to talk about list mail. All right. Now, in the absence of our good friend, Thomas Houston Vick, who is not chosen to join us today. Anyway, okay, yeah, just scanning the list there, I saw one, and it's, I don't know the dates on these, but anyway, what Dale Levins was talking about, his purchase of a pneumatic tool set. It sounded similar to ours, Phil, that you got the impact wrench and the ratchet wrench and a chisel and the little grinder. And a couple of things. And his question was, I mean, and he said the original price was $240-something, and he bought it for $98. I think when the traveling tool show came through Lufkin, we got ours for about half a hundred.
Yeah.
And his deal was, he said the ratchet wrench, he noticed when he hooked it up, it seemed to run all the time, whether the trigger was pulled or not, at a very low speed, but it still actually was running. And if he increased on the trigger, the wrench would increase in speed or torque.
Now, this was his impact wrench.
This was a ratchet wrench. You got an impact wrench, and then this ratchet wrench, I think is what he was calling it.
I don't know what it is.
Well, we got one in our set. And so somebody suggested, he couldn't see any noticeable adjustments on the wrench. And he was wondering if anybody knew. He said it would be his inclination that the wrench, when it was not under full with the trigger pull, should not go at all. Which would be my thought on the subject. But somebody suggested that there was an adjustment. Dale says, but from what he could see, was not. And of course, then there's another way to control that. Not all air pneumatic tools take the same air pressure, and you can set that from the compressor itself. You might need to read on there. But also, then somebody said, it was probably, at that price, it was probably a X brand. I can't think of the brand name that the fellow called it. And said that they were notorious with their trigger mechanisms, that they were defective. And he advised that he should take it back if he could. I think he could. And then somebody else said that it was probably a little like a neoprene ring or a plastic ring that may have disintegrated. And here's the deal. If you know somebody fairly reliable, at that price, you can't afford to spend a lot of money. But remember when we thought your staple gun had cratered, and I took it over here to Maddox, and for $7, they took it apart and cleaned it. And that was the problem. The guy said there was a little diaphragm in there. It didn't cost anything. We thought it was a major...
Well, I thought it was out forever.
Throw it in the trash. So anyway, but also another thing on this subject is Phil and I both have these sets. And really, I wouldn't get too concerned about all of those tools, because unless you do just some kind of weird workings, you're not going to use hardly any of them. I have used the pneumatic wrench more than anything because I changed tires on my tractor.
I've never used my pneumatic wrench.
I have two sets of tires. And then Emily's son comes up, and he's got a Jeep, and we've changed tires on his Jeep and all that. I have used the little grinder a time or two, but they're not really. There are better tools. I have a little Moto tool that's equal to that. And the only reason I can't tell Dale much about his ratchet is because I have one and I've never used it, so I don't exactly know how mine or any of them are supposed to work.
I didn't get one.
Yeah, you got one. I can show you. You got the same set I did.
I've never
But the little chisel now, it also has a little pneumatic chisel, and once you figure it out how to work it, when I built the pavilion and the dog kennel thing, I used it to break a hole in the concrete to get started with a drill bit, and the little chisel worked fine, and it did a real precise precision job.
Is that right?
But the bottom line is no more money than you have invested. I mean, the guy's suggestion was take them back and get a better tool. Yeah, if you ever decided on one tool, like in my case, if I wanted one tool out of the entire set, it would be a pneumatic wrench, but there's no point in me going and buying a better one because this one has worked fine so far. So if you really got into air tools, into pneumatic tools, and you wanted one, because you'll never use all of those. There's just a lot of it. You just like the little...
I think 10 years or so ago, Audrey bought me, when she was still alive, bought me a set of sockets to go with that pneumatic wrench, because you can't use the regular sockets.
No, that yours, if it's like mine, should have come with them, because mine came with
some, and I bought some more.
Right.
I think I bought some larger ones in case some guy with a bulldozer ever pulled up and wanted to change it. You know, you never know when that's going to happen.
Well, on the sockets, you don't want regular sockets, because that socket has to move around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of free-floating. But anyway, I don't know what your problem is with your ratchet gun, but I would try adjusting from the compressor. But I wouldn't worry about it, because I can't imagine what you'd use it for.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't either.
But it's nice. I think Dale is of our same philosophy. It's nice to have those tools.
Oh, you know, I'd love to have.
If nothing else, you can tell everybody you've got.
I don't do as much as I used to do, but I like being able to go out there and do anything. You know, when I saw a straight board, I can. That's why I bought the original table saw that got all my stuff started, was so I could, because if you can't see, it's hard to follow a straight edge, folks.
That's correct.
It is for me.
Yep.
You know. All right, what else you got?
All right, then I noticed, let's say there was a guy, and he'll know who it is. It was back on the basements. I mean, there was a lot of questions about basements, which we discussed last week. But in one particular, a guy said he had a drain. He had a basement, and there was a door coming out of his basement to a landing, like a 5x5, and then there was 4 or 5 steps going up to the ground level.
Uh-huh.
And in the bottom of his little stairwell there was a drain.
Yeah.
And it had been working fine. I mean, it was when it rained, it was to keep water from accumulating at that landing, which makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then the drain started going slower and slower and slower. And so then he realized or finally found or decided that someone had left there's a little top on it, I guess, to protect certain size objects from going in it and all this. And so he was going to try to clean this drain out. And so he did a shop vac. It was unique. I would have never thought of a lot of things, but never in my shop vac.
Why not?
Well, that's kind of an application. It's not really for, but, you know, if it works, don't knock it. But anyway, he said he pushed the hose here again 10 feet up in there, and I can't imagine the hose being that long.
He turned it on, and what did he get?
Well, he said he got a lot of twigs and some gravel and this. And he also started out describing the pipe as a corrugated plastic. And I think later on he may have corrected that corrugated. I'm not sure what. I can't imagine it not being PVC. But then I don't know the age of the house. And he says that the drain goes down, I don't know, maybe a foot in this, and then there's a right turn. And then it heads off under the basement and, I guess, connects into his main plumbing. It's a 3-inch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he never did really say it was a 3-inch, but I'm assuming. And so, anyway, then he tried the, and he finally poked something down in there and went to, and where it wouldn't go anymore, and he assumed he had come to another right angle. And that drain worked a little bit for a while, but then he got suggestions, you know, try the water hose. And so he tried his water hose, and he said it would drain and everything unless he opened the valve wide open, and then the water would run back out because it couldn't keep up. So it still was obstructed.
Wait a minute. He didn't have one of these things that expands when you put the water hose
in? Well, no, and I'm sure he didn't. He just stuck the hose down.
He doesn't know about those.
Well, and we don't know how big a one of those you can buy.
You can buy 3 different sizes. You can buy one that's huge. I mean, one that'll expand about 5 inches.
Okay, well, then we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll tell you what he did, and then we'll suggest that. Anyway, then he said he was reluctant to. He knew that. All right, so he called Roto-Rooter.
Yeah.
And they wanted to put down their camera and all that, but they also wanted $200 and a bunch of money.
Yeah, it was a bunch. I remember that.
$280 or something. And then he said, "No, we'll do it for $180 if because blah blah." But then he said, "Well, they really got." It's when he asked, "Well, how? What kind of guarantee do you give them?" They said, "Well, you know, we don't give guarantees." And so he said, before he spent the bucks, he was going to try, you know, he had heard that you could rent these snakes, motorized snakes like Roto-Rooter has.
Yeah.
And from Home Depot and all that, and good luck to him because our Home Depot quit renting. But anyway, but he said he was reluctant to do that because the pipe was plastic and he was afraid you might damage it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of where he left it. So then my suggestion was like a manual snake. You know, that's on a reel.
The crank kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might try that, but also then I did not know that they made, so I'll let you describe those rubber things.
Let me see who this is. Hello? Hello? Hello?
They're gone.
I guess they weren't too interested. They're gone. Weren't too interested in talking to us. This is a thing that goes on the end of your hose, and they make three different sizes, and I think I have one of all three sizes.
And when it's in its relaxed position, it looks kind of like a rubber antenna.
It looks like a big rubber thing with ribs on it.
Ribs on it, and it screws on the end of a water hose. And when you turn on the water,
it expands.
It expands to whatever size it's capable of.
To whatever size your pipe is. And that way, water cannot come back to you. And they make three different sizes. So decide what size your pipe is and what size you want it to expand. And go to the hardware store and buy one of these. You screw it on the hose, and it makes a loud noise, whistling noise.
When you
turn it on, but it'll, you know, you're using the city's water pressure to clean out your drain.
Yeah, it pressurizes the water.
Yeah.
I think it restricts the flow coming in, but
it does.
But it keeps it from backing up, and it's also real cheap. And then the bottom line that I was going to tell you about in one of my experiences, though, the way you describe your drain, on the house that I lived in before I live where I live now, the garage was, in a sense, at ground level if you were entering from the front. But the rest of the house was actually built on a hill, so out of my garage, you walked up four steps to go into the house. Or like if you were in the front yard, you walked up a hill and then there were steps. So the garage was at a lower level. My washing machine drain pipe never worked in that house. And the washer and dryer were designed to sit in that garage on a pad that was a little higher, but it was still well below the level of the house. And I called a plumber and he came out and they charged me to try to Roto-Root out. But he told me, he said, "I'll tell you what, this house is settled long enough." He said, "That pipe is off grade. It is just plain." He said, I could come back here every week. And he said, "You're not going to do any good. Your pipe is probably running more downhill in this direction than it is." And so I don't know how old your construction is, but you said that pipe run under the basement slab. Or is that your? Somebody had said you ought to go maybe try to find the other end and see where it comes out. But anyway, that is a possibility that pipe has just settled.
The hose thing is cheap. You can do that for $5, and so why not try it?
And if it still works a little, in other words, if it's working a little, this hose would probably help.
Unclog it, and it's cheap. Just decide what size you need. Go to any hardware store, and they'll have them.
That's right.
That's right. What else?
Well, I don't know. Do we have time? It? That can be about it. We've got about...
We about... That about does it. That first about, segment.
That's right.
Caller guest.
Wonder who that was on the phone.
I've got to
get my caller ID.
Probably our guest calling us, actually.
And saying he couldn't make it.
Probably.
Saying he was out for the semester.
Yeah.
As I do, you know.
Today was his long day.
That's right.
Who is our guest?
Our guest is Barry Levine. We've talked with him, but it's been a couple of years ago. And
it has. Been a while since we've had him on. We'll check him out in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Blind Handy Man with Don Patterson, Don Sean. I'm Phil Parr. We'll be right back. You stand by. wonder how we got into that vocal from the instrumental. It just things just happen sometimes on the Handyman Show.
They really
Hello there.
Do.
We're all back and ready to go and speaking with Barry Levine. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, that's very good. Where are you? We've had you before, but it's been so long.
Yes, I am in Homer Glen. Homer Glen, Illinois. It's about 30 miles southwest of Chicago.
I do remember.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's amazing. You live north of Chicago, and
I live just south of Chicago.
South of Chicago. Well, I never was very good with directions.
That's okay.
Listen, and you do an unusual. I can't remember what you do for a living, but it's not the normal. You don't run a vending stand. I know that.
No. I own actually a couple of outpatient physical therapy, occupational therapy, sports medicine facilities. One's right here in Homer Glen, Illinois. I have another one in Joliet, Illinois, which is our neighbor to the south.
And you are a physiotherapist yourself?
No, by training I'm a psychologist. It's a long story as to how I come to own these things, but by training I'm a psychologist.
Okay, all right.
See, how it happened is my graduate training's in the field of organizational psychology and a subspecialty in what's called methodology and measurement. And for a long time, what I did was evaluate the outcomes of these kinds of facilities. And somewhere along the line, I got to the point where I thought, well, I'm going to make more money if I own them. And so that's what I did.
So you just bought one. Why not?
Yeah. Well, I put one up actually from scratch, and then it did what it was supposed to do, so I put up another one.
Now, you lost your eyes later in life, right? You lost your eyes.
Yeah, I probably have been totally blind for 25 to 30 years.
Yeah.
And I'm 58.
So long enough to get used to it.
Well, long enough to get used to it. And frankly, I was sighted long enough to, you know, have driven cars and done all the things that sighted people do. So
you got.
I can tell you, I've hit my thumb less with a hammer as a blind person than I did as a sighted person. I don't know if that's just being more cautious or what.
Probably.
Well, you know, people say all the time they're amazed that a totally blind person like me or you or Don Shaw, practically totally blind, have power tools. Why do you know? I would figure I'm probably more careful than most people.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's rather easy to just always know where the blade is.
Yeah.
Always know where you are. I should say always know where you are in relation to the blade.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
You think you've hit your thumb less. That's a great statement.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Because, boy, you don't have to hit your thumb but once or twice till you realize it really hurts.
It'll wake you up.
When you miss the nail. I did it, built a set of steps for a guy and did it twice in one job in one day. And it was, remember when we built those steps for Tom Houston for his trailer? Mobile?
Yeah.
All right. But you do handyman things in addition to your running these companies.
Oh, I certainly do,
Like
nothing
what?
Major. I don't put up decks, so you know I can't compete with your show of last week. But what I'm doing right now is I'm putting together a little. One of my kids just moved into a new apartment, and she needs a little bench on a wall near the front door, and she can't find anything in the stores to fit it. And so I'm building that for her.
So you measured it, and you're going to build it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's neat.
It's a very
That's neat.
That's really good. How are you?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm sort of practical in what I don't build things just for the sake of it. I like to have something that needs to be done. And so I thought, okay, she needs a bench. She can't find one to fit that little nook, you know. So I'll build it.
How are you going to put it together? With the dowels or with drywall screws or glue or what?
Probably screw and glue. It's a very, very simple bench. I'm just building it out of pine stair stock. It's just, you know, the treads of a stair Well, actually, I think the risers as well. But at any rate, it's like 2x10, something like that, pine. And it's fairly clear, although it has knots and stuff. But it doesn't matter because this is going to be painted, not stained or anything like that. And it really is very easy. The legs are of the same 2x10.
Uh-huh.
The little seat is 2x10. And what you do is just simply route, how can I put this, the upper part of the leg, route out 3/4 of an inch, front and back, and that's where you're going to put your apron.
Okay.
And I use a 1x3 or 1x4 for the apron, depending upon what I have laying around the basement. And then resting on top of that is going to be the 2x10 seat. I will probably put blocks underneath it to glue and screw the seat to it.
Yep.
And really, that's about the size of it. It's just very, very easy.
Well, yeah, and you'll put a piece across the front between the two legs to keep it from wobbling side to side, right?
It actually doesn't do that. Once you've got, because it's rather low, I mean, it's like a 16-inch height.
Uh-huh.
So if you've got 1x4
yeah.
as an apron and you've glued and screwed, it's not going to wobble.
It's not going to wobble.
That's actually like the cross piece that will keep it from wobbling from side to side.
Yeah.
It's very simple. I got the plans from, I don't know, years and years ago. My wife and I were at some artsy, craftsy kind of show, you know, how they put up, you know,
yeah.
whole parking lot with people in the craft.
Yes.
And I bought a bench just like this from some guy, and I said, oh, my God, this is the easiest thing in the world. You could build a million of these things in a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is what I did with the picnic table. I bought one from Walmart, but I never put it together. I just used it as a pattern and built a dozen.
Yeah.
A clue yeah. on your painting there, Barry. If you're using pines and it has a lot of knots, I don't know how old a wood you're talking here, but I put up a pine ceiling, 1x6. They're not 1 inch thick. They're probably more like 5/8 thick. It's the decorative where you're going to have the V beads in a ceiling. Anyway, we decided rather than stain it to paint it. And I painted, and I did not use a very good primer, and all of the pine knots bled through.
Yeah.
They make a primer that has shellac
yeah.
in it, and somebody told me that's what you need. So just a word so your little bench won't bleed through.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. You know, I've always considered it to be somewhat sacrilegious to paint wood. I'm just one of those people who doesn't like paint on wood.
Right.
But for these benches, you know, I mean, there are times when it's okay to do it, you know.
Right.
And thanks for the tip. I'll keep that in mind. Absolutely, because I know there are some pine knots here.
If the wood is old, fairly old, I don't know, and maybe cured, it might not be a problem, but I didn't think I was going to have a problem. And I had a painter doing mine, and I said, Carlos, are you sure this is going to work? Oh, yeah, it's going to work just fine. Well, it lasted about 2 months, and so Carlos is gone, and I got to repaint it.
Watch.
Well, you know, sometimes these knots just decide to fall out anyway. I mean,
yeah.
every once in a while, they don't stay. I mean, if it's not going all the way through the wood, but I don't think I've got a knot going all the way through.
Yeah, no,
the wood.
It's not so much that they came out. It's the rosin where they bleed through, you know, the kerosene in the pine, I mean, the turpentine, that just bleeds through your paint. So.
You know what? That's a good thought. That's a good question. I've never even stopped to think what a knot is made out of.
I don't know. What is it made of? I thought it was just made of...
Well, it's a part of the wood. I don't know exactly what causes them, but, pine has a lot of resin, I think they call it, which basically is just really cheap turpentine. I mean, it's why pine is so flammable, and then, you know, like you're the pine that you... The match pine or the light pine that you were always talking about.
Yeah.
That's just part of probably came from a knot or something that has a lot of kerosene in it, a lot of
it does.
Turpentine. Yeah.
So, but you're going to put a cushion on this bench, right?
No, I'm just going to leave it wood.
Okay. All right. What you're not going to paint it. You're going to have your sighted wife paint it, right?
I'm going to prime it, which is why I'm happy to have the clue. I'm going to prime it, and I'll have my sighted wife paint it.
Yeah.
I learned long ago that I'm not proud when it comes to I'll do it. And if were I to paint this thing, you'd see every brush stroke you could possibly see.
I never liked painting myself either. Never did.
We have discussed
it's not even fun. I mean,
nope, it isn't.
We have discussed this infinitum on the show. And we've never found a blind person yet who claims to be able to paint with any skill or with any and make things look good.
Yeah,
it's just something blind people
can always
can't do.
Get brush marks and just you know, it's just. Yeah. Difficult.
Thing. I actually built our bed, and it's a very, if I have to say so myself, it's beautiful. It's a four-poster bed. I chamfered the corners of the posts, and I wanted the thing, I made it out of poplar, and I wanted the thing pickled white. You know that, I don't know if those of you who have had sight, you know what I'm talking about. It's a white, but it's sort of a pickled white. And there was no way I was going to be able to get that effect. And he had to have my wife stain it. But you know what? I put on the rest of the finishing coats because all it took was one coat of the stain. And then I put on a gelatinous clear coat. And I probably put on three or four gelatinous clear coats.
Yeah.
And steel walled and sanded in between. It came out beautiful.
Yeah.
But I couldn't stain it, nor could I paint it. It just...
So the posts are square, and you routed the corners. You did what to the corners?
Well, I actually tapered and chamfered those posts. So
you're going to have to explain that word to me, because I don't know what that means.
Well, because what I did was I built a jig. Let's see, those posts, I want to say, are 6.5 feet high.
Okay.
I built a jig that was a long, skinny, I just built it out of, plywood, and it's an inch or two longer than the posts.
Okay.
And maybe an inch or two wider, and I built it in such a fashion that I could put screws in either end so it would hold the post above the table saw. And I pushed it through on a very slight angle so I could taper the sides of the post.
I got you.
And then I also, quote, chamfered the edges of those posts. Do you know what I mean? So those posts are cut on all four sides and all four corners. Am I describing this okay?
Well, kind of. So the corners are angles. The corners are, they're not rounded. They're flat.
They're not rounded. They're angled. They're angles.
Angled on the corners.
So there's angles on the corners. I actually have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, what, 8 sides on those posts.
8 sides. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
8 sides, but they're also tapered. So it's not straight up. It's not an octagonal straight up post. It's got 8 sides, and it's tapered going toward the top.
So bigger at the bottom and smaller, kind of like a pyramid.
Yes. No. On the bottom, I actually flipped it around and have the same configuration as the top, only much shorter.
Okay.
Because there's just, because I left about, 16 inches off the ground, I left a section of post that is just square. So that's where the rails of the bed come into the post. So going up, it's tapered and chamfered for probably, 4.5, 5 feet. And going down, it's tapered and chamfered for about 1.5 feet, not even 1.5 feet.
Right,
and then I've got that section, that square section of post that's only about just enough for the rails, so it's about 6 inches, and I have the rails going into that.
Now, that's very neat.
It is. Is there a headboard between these posts? Is there a big headboard?
Yeah. Yes, that was the trickiest thing I had to do because it wasn't an even measurement since the two rear posts are tapered.
Yeah.
The lower dimension of the headboard, the bottom dimension of the headboard, is shorter than the upper dimension of the headboard.
Yeah, it would be.
And so I had to cut that poplar board. And I glued up a couple of boards because the headboard is, I don't know, maybe 18 inches, maybe 20 inches, something like that. I can't remember. And I glued up a couple of boards to get that. And then I had to cut it on the angle that the bedposts were in, and that was doweled in. I doweled that into the rear bed posts.
Really,
it just came out nice. I got lucky. I don't know that I'd do it again. It was a very It was not an easy project.
Sounds intense.
Barry, Barry, yeah. You need to not read Popular Mechanics. I mean, come on. I mean, that sounds like a hard job.
Well, and Popular,
you know,
I bet you it
you
looks
know,
nice. I bet it's so neat, you know.
Well, it's nice to have built your bed, you know. It's like it's a, you know, it's a piece of you know, a conversation piece. So, yeah, I built this here, you know.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we have a room of built-in furniture that's stained the same way, and everybody thinks I built that, but I didn't. I just had a carpenter do it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but don't tell.
Don't, people don't need to know everything.
Nobody has to know that. No.
And you mentioned your basement, so you have your shop down in the basement of your house?
Yeah. I love my shop. Although, if you recall, I wrote a couple of posts maybe a year or two ago to the list. I'm the original pack rat, and so I really need to do something about that.
I think I remember this.
I do remember discussing that on the list.
I started getting better, and then I slid. I fell off the wagon. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now it's a mess again. But with each new project, I both take care of some of the mess and then, again, add to some of the mess. So one of these days, I keep saying to myself, I'm going to clean this thing out for good. I think what it's going to take is a good old flamethrower or something and just start from scratch. I don't know.
So you have lots of wood scraps down there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Wow.
I've got wood. I could have a garage sale. I could have a wood scrap sale and probably make some money.
We had a fire in our fire pit in front of the house, and I sent my granddaughter to the shop. I said, go look under my workbench and get a few wood scraps, pine scraps, that'll help start this fire. Well, she did that. Papa, can I get some more? She was 11 or 12 years old. Yes, Tiffany, you can. She cleaned it out for me. They're all gone now. I don't have any more.
There you go.
That took care of that. She's grown up now, and she doesn't. We don't build too many fires anymore. But anyway, that's how I got rid of mine.
I don't know what the sickness is that you take a little tiny piece of scrap of wood and think, oh, I can't throw this away. I mean, this is oak. My goodness, how can I throw this away?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're never going to use it for anything other than the fire you built.
Well, you don't know. You don't when you're building
that's
something.
True.
You've got that little block of wood that just fits exactly where you wanted it to be. You know.
My dad, who's a long since gone, used to do that. I mean, he'd be working with it, and he labored a lot. He was in he did a lot of plumbing on his own, and he was visually impaired. He could see some, but really not enough to amount to anything. But boy, he would fold up a piece of wire and stick it in his pocket, just some off of some job he was doing or scrap, because I might need that, you know. And after he passed, I found pipe fittings and stuff that I couldn't even figure out where you might ever want to use it, you know. But by God, he kept it because it was his, you know.
Of course, Matt, there was a time, my father was a technician, worked on radios and televisions, and there was a time when there wasn't a Radio Shack, that if you wanted an electrolytic capacitor, you couldn't go buy one. You had to order it from a catalog or steal it out of the, you know, some radios. So he had tons of stuff when he died. Just cigar boxes full of radio parts.
I bet.
What drives me most crazy is having those pieces, and usually they're metal, they're not wood, that look too important to throw away, but God, you've long since forgotten whatever they went to or why you kept it in the first place.
What would you use them for? Yeah.
Well, it's like my two boxes sitting right up there above Don Shaw's head. There are two boxes of wall warts.
Yeah, that God knows went with what.
The appliance that went with those wall warts is long since gone. Still got the wall wart.
Yeah.
And might need that for, it's got, you might need one with 8 volts someday or 9 volts or 7, whatever it puts out, and just to have that particular fit. And occasionally, I'll find something that'll use one. But
a perfect example of this is I went on a cleaning frenzy here last week. We were going to have company, and so I cleaned the back porch fans. They have two outside, and I took down three little boxed-in light fixtures, the little glass that goes over, and cleaned them. So when putting up the last light fixture, and there were two screws that held each, I dropped one of the screws. lo and behold, we couldn't find it. And I know the well-heeled handyman is supposed to have boxes and boxes of screws.
I do.
But I have screws that I just saved and thrown in and them in jars and all this. To make a long story short, I could not find a matching screw with all of that junk. And so Emily had to go to Abney's, the hardware store, and buy the exact screw. That ought to prove right there. Throw it away. You know, if you've got it just, it's not worth a damn.
I can't. My wife is a pack rat, but she doesn't put things. I'm a pack rat, but I got all my pack rat stuff is labeled. I know where it is. She just pack rats and keeps it and doesn't put it up.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got.
I can picture things now. Just holding it in my hand, I can picture these little metal objects, and I think to myself, all right, if I throw this away, though, I'm going to need it tomorrow. Tomorrow's when I'm going to need it.
Yeah. You know. And you might.
As a psychologist yourself, have you ever recommended treatment for this ailment?
Well, yeah. You know, just because you know you're neurotic doesn't mean you can get rid of it. So, I mean, you know.
It has been my experience that most of the people I've interviewed who have degrees in psychology got them to try to figure out what their problems were.
Well, exactly. Who better to find out? I mean, you know, who better to figure things out?
Yeah.
You know, I'm screwed up. I don't trust anybody else to figure it out. So
got a degree in psychology.
So yeah. Keep on saving those metal parts.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, see, what you learn in psychology school is that it's not how to unscrew yourself up, but that it's okay to be screwed up.
Yeah.
So that's what you learn.
Yeah.
You just get more comfortable.
What did Waylon Jennings' song is, I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane.
Yeah.
That isn't it.
Yeah, I'm kind of crazy, but it's been fun. You know?
Jack Daniel's whiskey has done a lot for me. What else is going on in your life? Anything we need to know about you? You're just working every day,
I work mostly every day. The latest treasure I have, I think I wrote this. This was a couple months ago. I got a new passload gun, finishing nailer, and that's the pride of my life. I stalk the house right now looking for things that need to be attached to one another.
Is it electric or pneumatic?
It's battery and gas.
Okay.
However, those two come together.
Really? That little compressed like a.
So you put
air
a little
gun.
Cylinder in it and.
Wow.
Yeah, I put a little cylinder in it, and I have to charge the battery in it.
Yeah.
How neat.
Yeah. What
it
size,
is wonderful.
What size nails is it?
18 gauge. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means.
That's the thickness of the nail, the shank of
right.
the nail, the
right.
gauge.
I've had one in my hand. I would compare it somewhere 6 or 8 finishing nail.
Yeah, normally an 18-gauge gun, I've got one that shoots anything from 2.5 inches to 7/8 of an inch. It'll shoot that small or that large. That one probably won't go that big, but, you know, 1¾ inches or 2-inch nails, plenty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll do up to a couple inches.
Yeah, that's man, I would just go shoot
no
it around.
No cords to drag around, no hoses. That'd be kind of good.
Looking
cool.
For that piece.
Oh, it's a wonderful gun. It really is, and it's almost foolproof. I mean, my wife originally read me the instructions, and that's another thing you learn with age and wisdom is to actually read the instructions, because if you don't, something happens. But at any rate, she read me the instructions, and it's the easiest thing in the world. You just place it up against the surface you want to nail, and you push down on it. You'll hear a little escape of gas, and then you shoot. And it's very easy. It's fun as can be. I don't have nearly enough things in my life to nail now that I have this little finishing gun.
Tell me the brand name again.
It's a Passlode, Passlode. And I think it's European. I don't think it's manufactured
here. Okay, because that is that's a neat concept.
Plenty of power, I guess, for that size nail.
In your opinion, how long do you think the little CO... I mean, could a man use it, a working carpenter, a finishing... He's putting up screen molding. Could he use it for 4 hours?
I believe so. In fact, and I don't recall the numbers, but it's in the instructions, it'll tell you how long one cartridge will last or whatever.
Right.
But you're not going to walk around with one cartridge anyway.
No, I know you'd have more, I'm saying. So, but a guy could, putting down the shoe molding after the linoleum job, you think a working carpenter, this would be an item he might want. No?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. This was not a cheap gun. This was a professional.
Oh, really?
Gun. Okay, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
But you have an air compressor.
No, I don't.
You don't?
Which is why which is why I could not get a different gun. I don't have an air compressor.
Why?
I don't know why. You know, that's a good question.
They're not expensive anymore.
No, and in fact, it's my birthday tomorrow.
About $125 bucks will buy you the sweetest little oilless air compressor Sears has.
And it'll run one nail gun for as long as you want it to.
It's on two little wheels. You pull it anywhere. You can pick it up with one hand. And I've got one, and it's the sweetest little compressor I've ever had.
Wow.
How old will you be tomorrow, Barry, just for fun?
I will be 59 years old.
Yeah. How'd you know that, Pat?
Because he said he was 58.
Oh, okay.
Kind of made sense.
Made sense to you, didn't it?
Yeah. 59. Don't I sound like I'm 59?
You don't.
Now, Barry, you
sound
don't.
Younger. Sound much younger to me than 59.
Well, thanks. I'll take that as a compliment and try and keep it going.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to be 59. And then after that, I'm going to be 60.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Big 6-0.
There's nothing wrong with being 60. Don Patterson and I are both over 60.
I will be 66 in a month.
I'll be 68 in 2 months.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
It's all right.
And you're still kicking.
Still climbing ladders and doing little roofing jobs, and not as easy as it used to be, but I'm still there.
I'm still kicking, but not very high.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
That's okay.
It's
not how high I kick. Yeah. It's just how accurate you
kick. Is that right?
So.
All right, sir.
At any rate.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask another question about the air compressor. This air compressor from Sears. Yeah. What can you drive off of? Just so you can drive a nail gun. What else?
Well, I have some pneumatic wrenches that I like. I bought a little tractor when my wife and I first moved to our place, a little two-cylinder diesel Kubota tractor that has just been sweet running, and I bought two sets of wheels. I'm the only guy in the world that would do this, but because they said, well, no, you can put ag tires on this or you can put turf tires. And I said, well, who wants to change the tires? I'll change the whole wheel and rim. So I bought an extra set. So depending on if I'm going to go use my landscape rake, we have about 4 acres, and I'm still kind of clearing some off and on. I'll go put the ag tires, the bar tires. And then if I'm going to mow the yard, it has a belly mower on it, and I don't want to leave ruts in the yard, I put on the turf tires. And so,
well, what other pneumatic tools do you have?
Well, no, I have the nail gun and the wrenches, and this would drive, just a typical carpenter's tools. It wouldn't be big enough to work on a roofing gang where they'd have 3 or 4 nail guns, because we put 2 nail guns on it. And it was working it to death. So,
but you had my big framing gun.
Had your big framing gun,
which will shoot a great huge.
Oh,
will shoot
16,
a concrete nail.
Yeah, a 16-penny nail or a concrete nail.
And it ran it fine.
Yeah,
for one person can run that big framing gun.
Use the wrenches. Use the you air up. I mean, tire. I mean, just it's a great household compressor.
Yeah, when Mama says, left back tire on my car is flat, well, back it out here and we'll air it up. You know, when it blow up that float for the swimming pool, it just in seconds.
As we speak, I'm running some things in my head. Okay, what could I use?
Everybody needs an air compressor. You buy it, you'll use it. You'll use it once a week out of season.
Well, you can put they make attachments. Like if you just want to blow something off really good, I'm not talking about getting your gasoline leaf blower up there, but like I have a television that sits outside for 5 years. It's set outside on my patio. And it gets dusty, and I'm certain it gets dusty inside, but you can put this little attachment on there and blow, like, even though the compressor's got a lot of pressure, you can blow some soft air. You can clean things, or you can, in the pneumatic tools.
See, that's the hook. You have to say, sweetheart, I'm going to be cleaning things.
Right. to get it for your birthday, yes. You just got to go through the house and tell why you need it.
For your birthday, think of blowing out the candles.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
And when you're 60...
I don't have the...
And when you're 60,
I don't
60,
have the lungs anymore to do the birthday cake, so I'll just whip out my compressor.
You have to have air compressor.
Yeah, you got to have that compressor. Yeah.
All right. Barry Levine, thank you, sir, and keep on keeping on, and we'll visit with you in a week or two.
Thank you so much. Right. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for doing the show, sir.
Thanks, Barry.
This
good
show will run Friday night, too, by the
this
way.
This will be on Friday night and all day Saturday, sir, on ACB
Radio.
I'll
listen to it.
Good deal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you much. I have alluded to this several times. Don Pat and I went on a European Baltic Sea cruise back in May. We left the 28th of May. June.
Yeah.
Well, May and June. We left 28th of May, came back on about the 12th of June. So we were gone 2 weeks. And we got a big upgrade. I think we told everybody about this. We got a cabin upgrade. Had very nice accommodations. And I had had my Olympus, and I had recorded three or four times. I thought the last day, so I'll remember this, I'm going to do a walkthrough of this cabin and all its amenities, show you both decks and everything. And so I started my walkthrough, and, well, I'll show you what happened.
Yeah.
See if this will run here. My Olympus.
It's actually nice out here.
Is it sunshine?
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll do a little walk through here, the apartment. Let's see how much we can hear with the headphones here. Go outside. Let me find my key. Your goodbyes left me without a cry. Two cards here. One's a key. One's a player's card. Give you some idea. Big heavy door. The hall. Let's close and we'll put the key in. I've cut a corner off the key so that we can tell which how it is. I put it in and you pull it out slowly and my door won't open. Maybe I'm locked out. Oh. Put it in. Let's see. Pull it out. It isn't working. I have to ring the doorbell. That'd be something. Leave it a minute. Now, I heard it click. I heard it click, though. Let's see. Let's put it in one more time. But I heard it make that little clicking noise it's supposed to make. They've locked me out of my room. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Son of a bitch, isn't working. My big demonstration. I'm going to have to ring the doorbell. See if this works. Huh. She's out on the deck. She probably can't hear the doorbell. You can't. Hey, we're in. Isn't that great?
That's great.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to ring the doorbell while I'm kind of standing here so you can hear it. Let's ring it here. That's the doorbell.
And that takes you back to the ship, doesn't it, Pat? Hearing that doorbell?
That was it.
That was good. Just locked myself out of the room there. My big demonstration of how things work. I never can get those kind of locks to work for some reason.
Those key cards are a pain in the butt.
They are. They're easy for sighted people because you put them in there when you see the light, the door is ready to go. But
they're touchy. They are. Yeah,
they are touchy. So anyway, that was a cruise. I've been thinking about running that now for months. Barry Levine.
Good guess.
Quite a guy.
Yeah.
I would say he was an exacting. Everything he does is measured to the eighth of an inch.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
He's not a sloppy guy like me. Just, you know, nail something together. Hope the shelf fits.
I don't know. I'd like to get down in his woodshed basement, See what old bear's got stuck around
there. Yeah, I got quite a collection of...
Yeah, he's south of Chicago, right?
That's what he said.
Where the winters get very cold.
Did he say Glen Haven?
Glen
Cove. Anyway, he does well. Well,
I think he also bought that same Dale and then bought that watch. You know, that instead of talking, this watch vibrates.
Yeah, the vibrating watch.
I think I read on the list that Barry had bought one of those.
What do they call it? A tipsy, a tipsy? It starts with a T.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I never did actually figure out how you told time with it.
Well,
you know, I couldn't.
He said, well, somebody in one of the posts said when he set the something, the hands automatically set to the I guess if you set the tactual part, it is. It must have an alarm like mine has the voice in the hands. This one has the tactual thing, and then the hands automatically set. He said, I guess so, the vibration. But
yeah, and then vibration may be separate again there from the, I'm not sure. I know the one that Dale had when they were down here in the spring, though, you could actually feel the vibration on your arm, like in the 3 o'clock position or the 6 o'clock position, whatever it happened to be. And it would do one vibration where the long hand should be and another for the short hand, either faster or slower. So
it will, how do you ask it to tell you the time?
I think you touch the face or something or push down on it on your... I'm not sure.
Well, one place the guy had said in one of the posts on the net, in one of the posts on the net about it, said he hit, that was his problem. He was having to punch the stem two times to get it to do. So I guess it's the stem that you punch
to
make it vibrate.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'll just go with... You know Conley, our friend John Conley
from
Dallas, has four of those atomic clocks. You think it's noisy at my house on the top, at the top of the hour. And he's got the chimes on all of them. You ought to hear it.
Poor man. John.
So I was talking to him on the phone, you know, and he's like, what was that?
Poor John.
That's my atomic clock.
Well, I have my voice. I didn't know there were chimes.
Yeah, there's a... It's not really a chime. It's just...
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, time is 4 o'clock. Beep, 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 beep. And then it says the outside temperature. Yeah. The room temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's got... It's called the chime. When you turn it on, it says chime on.
Yeah.
So he has four of those with a chime on at his house.
And why does John Conley need four of these,
you might ask? Give him a call. I've got him in my phone book here. We'll try to give the boy a call. I have no idea why, but he bought four of them from our friend Dale Campbell.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I'm sure Dale likes it. I'm sure he's glad to get the sales.
Good customer.
Yeah.
We try to help folks. Anyway, show 240, The Blind Handyman. We're going to do 250 in Houston. If you haven't made reservations, you can email me, philparr@consolidated.net. Phil Parr is all one word, philparr@consolidated.net, and I'll send you the information. We're gathering in Houston October 24th, 5th, and 6th, coming home on Monday the 27th. And you won't learn anything, but you'll have a good time fellowshipping with us and other blind folks, you know.
Be there or be square.
Come to Houston. Thanks, Don Pat.
Yeah,
love it. Sean.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it again next week, show 241, maybe. Our boy Houston will be back in service next
maybe
week.
Possibly.
We can hope so. I'm sure he won't be here, but maybe he'll be available to
have a reworked computer up and
running. We'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parr, the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.